Buna from Shischa. Simcha Buna from Shischa, to be precise. Yid Beis Elul. His father was a great tzaddik, the Magid from Vladislav. The Mechaber Svarim, he was known to be darshan in different cities and very well respected God of Israel. So Rabbanim has a fascinating life, very different than many of the other Rebbes. I would encourage everyone to listen to Rav Weinberger. Has a series of many tzaddikim. I don't know if people really know about that, but he has mamash an entire library of sipuri tzaddikim, 5, 6, 7, sometimes more. Rabbi Nachman, he has many more on the lives of the tzaddikim. Mamash, he supposedly must have spent hours and hours researching their lives and putting things together, where they were born, all the way to the time that they were nifter, and the stories in between. So the series on Rabbanim I listened to many years ago, and it's fascinating, the life of Rabbanim. Over the course of his life, he was a pharmacist, he was a businessman, and many stories about that. He said, as a pharmacist, I learned many inyanim about Refuas HaNafesh, how to be a Rebbe. He says, I learned that when you're a pharmacist and you have to make the drugs, so you have to know that if you put a little bit too much of any in the ingredients, it's not just, you know, it'll be a little bit less sick, a little bit more of a refuah. I mean, it can be the matter of life and death. So I learned from there, I had to be very medactic in everything which I do, to give people exactly what they need in their life, in their avodas Hashem, and their gashmias and baruchnias. Although he had many rebbes, and he traveled to many great rebbes at the time, the Kozhin Tzur Magid, and Rabbi Moshe Lipsasever and others. So he was primarily, his Rebbe Movok was the Yid HaKadosh, the Jew, the Holy Jew from Pshischa. And he was also a Talmud by the Chayzer from Lublin, and as is well known, is that there was a split between the Chayzer from Lublin and the Yid HaKadosh. And although many and most of the Tzaddikim, they remained in Lublin, there were those who followed the Yid HaKadosh, and Rabbanim was the follower of the Yid HaKadosh. But he would sneak to the Chayzer from Lublin. He would sneak over to Lublin on occasion for Shabbos and to be by the Chayzer from Lublin. He didn't get involved in the politics Shabbai. And we'll share a story about his company in the time. But he was there was a lot of machlekes against Rabbanim. He was one of those tzaddikim that his life was full of machlekes and the redifus. I don't mean from the misnagdim, I mean from inner redifus, because he was a Talmud of the Yid HaKadosh. Aside from that, but although the Yid HaKadosh was respected by everybody, but primarily is that there were certain yonim which took place in Pshischa, which were a little bit different. There were a few chidushim of the Yid HaKadosh which were followed by the Rebbe from Pshischa, and there was a whole shaila about the kashrus of Rabbanim altogether. And Weinberger has an entire shir dedicated to this inyan. It's one of the most famous episodes in all of Hasidic history. Chaps, you know what this is? The wedding in Astilia, the wedding in Astil. All the rebbes, they came to this chasana. It was a very big rebbe shachasana, and all the gedolei tzaddikim, they came from all over Europe to come to this chasana. And the alter rebbe at the time, the rebbe of all rebbes, was the apter rav. And you have to listen to the whole story. It in itself can take a very long time, but through the efforts of the chidushi arim, who was a Talmud of the Rabbanah, it came out that they were waiting for the word. Everybody was hanging on the word of the Abtarab. What would he say? What would he going to say about the Rabbanah from Shischa? And he gave him the okay. And then after the Zakana Rabbanim spoke, everything was cleared by Rabbanah. Fascinating episode. Mamash, it's one of the most famous in all of halachic, in all of Hasidic history. He was known to be a chacham. And the tzaddikim said, the Chiddush Arim, who was one of the greatest talmidim of Rabbanim, he said, Tarach lefanai shulchan. David HaMelech says, set up the shulchan for me. Neged tzairai. Against my enemies. So what does that mean to set up a shulchan against the enemies? So the Chiddush Arim explained that those who are jealous of the tzaddik, who have tainas on the tzaddik, there needs to be a shield. There needs to be a levush to protect the tzaddik from the evil eye of those who have ayin hara against the tzaddikim. So every single tzaddik needs a front. He says, by me, I guess the Chiddush was wealthy, I don't know, I don't remember. But he said, by me, what I put out against the Ayin Haranix to protect myself, or to put out my yeshivas, my wealth. He says, and all the tzaddikim had shields against Ayin Haranix, called Levushim, against Ayin Haranix. The Chayzer from Lublin, he protected, he concealed his tzidkas with the maifsim which he did, the miracles which he did. The Yidak Kaddish used his Torah as a shield and a decoy from all the Ayin Haranix. And my Rebbe, he said, Rav Bunna from Shischa, his shield was his Chachma. His Chachma. He was known to be a Gevaldik Chachma. Chacham. Tremendous Chacham. Although, he said in the name of Rav Bunna, so Rav Bunna said, the Oilam thinks about me, the Velt thinks about me, that I'm a Grais, a Chacham, I'm this big Chacham. He says, Made Elai Shemayim Va'aretz, I call upon the heavens and earth to testify about me, that I never did anything in my life with Chachma, only with Tmimis and Pshitas. That's a lot of chachma. Yeah, definitely chachma. He said, for example, he said mamorim in his childhood. He said a vart like this. Many mamorim of chachma. He said if everybody would take their pekala, their packages in life, and put it in a circle, right, and say they would give it up, everybody would come and pick exactly what was there. What they put down is exactly what they would pick up. He once remarked, for another example of Chachma that he said, this is a well-known, he says, if I had an opportunity to switch places with Avram Avinu, that Avram should be Bunim and I would be Avram Avinu, I wouldn't switch. Because what's the difference? He says, what matters is if the Eibishter has Nachas or not. So what does it matter if I'm Avram Avinu, he's Avram Avinu? Hashem's going to get the same Nachas. What does Hashem gain if I'm Avram and he's Bunim? What does he gain? He doesn't gain anything. He said also, and the Rav Shitzer says something similar to this. He says, all of the mitzvahs asay is really one mitzvah asay, and all the mitzvahs leis asay is really just one mitzvah leis asay. What's that? He says, it's obviously much better in Yiddish, but I don't understand it. Bench mandra naya bench glafia. I don't know, I'm not even pronouncing it right, probably. It says, tiya chacham va'al tiya shaita. The mitzvah sasei of all mitzvahs is be a chacham, and the mitzvah lo sasei is not to be a shaita. He said, where is that? Is that there's a well-known vort. First of all, you have to know that he had gevaldik talmidim, so many talmidim, grace of talmidim, of which many branches of chassidus came from there, like Rav Yitzchak Varke, the famous tzaddik from Varke, from which all amshinav comes from, Talmud of Rabbanu, Kotzk, Menachem Mendel from Kotzk, Sraf from Kotzk, Talmud of Rabbanu, Ger, Chedush Arim, Talmud of Rabbanu, Alexander Chassidus, Rav Chiyo, Talmud of Rabbanu. Many other great, great legends of Chassidus, they were ultimately in Rabbanim. They all said about Rabbanim, Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. But there was still machlekes against him until it was cleared by the Afterov. Another Chachma, which he said, there's a famous word from Rav Yitzchak Varki. He said, he's known to have said that one of the curses for the Nachash was that he'd have to eat dust of the earth. Tzadik said, I don't understand what type of a curse that is. Everywhere he goes, he has his parnasa. Everywhere he goes, he takes his parnasa with him. Why is that such a big curse? So he answered, is that the reason why it's a curse, because he doesn't have a kesher with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam says, you do your thing, I'll be over here, you do your thing. And he says, if you're going to complain and wonder what you're going to have to eat, so don't worry, I'm going to make sure wherever you go, we have what to eat. That's a big problem. The fact that we have an opportunity to ask Ribbono Shel Olam for parnasa every day, that's the greatest bracha which we have. We have the kesher to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And so he taiched. He says that what we say in davening, we say, Sim shalom tov v'racha, chein v'chesed v'racha me'alina v'kor yisalamecha, v'achinu avinu klanaka echar v'or panacha. We ask Hashem for Shalom Tov V'Bracha, all these great things. But in the end, we say, we qualify that statement, we say, no, Ki Be'or Panacha Nasata Lana. We don't want it if you don't give it to us for Panacha. Don't give us a lot of things, Rebbeinu Shalom. If you're going to give it to us and distance yourself from us, we want that. If it's no Or Panacha, we're not interested. We want you. We don't just want the things that you give us. So Rebbeinu said, and the Kojig lover, he used that vort to teach this mimer from Rebbeinu. Rebbeinu said, if I saw a tippish in his Olam Haba that he was carrying 12-13 wagon loads of Hana from Olam Haba, I said, I wouldn't be Makana him. I wouldn't be jealous of him. I wouldn't be jealous of him. And he called him a tippish. Why? He says, because just to have a big Gereis Olam Haba, and just to have lots and lots of stuff, but to have no Ribbono Shel Olam, that I don't want. That's not called Olam Haba. And that's what he meant. A person is a Chacham, he knows how to use Avodas Hashem in a way that he has Ribbono Shel Olam. But a person can go through a whole life in Avodas Hashem, and he can have many great milas and all types of things. Talking about Tafel and Iker and Tafel. He says, if you don't have the Ribbono Shel Olam, you have nothing. That's how he teaches the Gemara. The Gemara says that this whole world is like a Chasma. So the Gemara says. So he teaches. What does it mean that the Gemara says this whole world is like a Chasma? He says, a lot of people come to a Chasma. He says, some people come, you know, for the good food. Some people come for the company. Some people come taka for the simcha. Everybody comes for different reasons. He says, but the real reason you come to a chasna is because of four words, five words. Harei at mekudeshesli b'tabazio. That's why you come to a chasna. He says, the whole of Avodas Hashem is about these words. It's about kedusha. About kedusha. He says, if you come into this world to do Torah mitzvahs and you're lacking kedusha, he says, it's like showing up to a chasna and there's no harei at mekudeshesli. It's not a chasna, he said. Not a chasna. He said very deep mamarim like that, in just a very few words. Many of the stories are not long stories. There are many long stories, but in this sefer for sure, there's many just short things which happen in life of Rebbeinu, which is just fascinating, chachma, which emerges from them. When he used to daven, tefillos of Rebbeinu, he says Rebbeinu used to stand still, one place. He didn't show any movements, like what was the custom of Tzadikim. Again, the whole time he had tears streaming down his eye. Tefillos of Rebbeinu. Somebody once asked the Varka Rebbe, he said to him, how is it that you became attached to Rebbeinu in such a very deep kashrus? So he said, you know, the Navi says that when Eliyahu, Hanavi found Elisha, so it says that Eliyahu told Elisha, he says, you want to come with me? So Elisha says, I don't know, I have to go ask, you know, my wife, my family, if I could go. So it says that Eliyahu, he took his garb, he took his Be'aderes Eliyahu, his coat, and he put it on Elisha. And he says, after that, Elisha just, he forgot everything he was doing, and he just followed Eliyahu into the... He says, what happened? He says, what happened here? He says, you want to come? He said, I don't know, put on his garb. Yeah. He says, because as soon as he took his coat and he put it on him, he says, he owned him. It became his talmud. Didn't have to do anything. He says, the way it was by Rebbeinu, he says, as soon as you stuck out your hand, and he gave you a shalom, kasher naga biyado shal ish pasha, if a simple person took the hand of Rebbeinu, tekifu miyad his slav menu, he would set him on fire, v'rotz lil matayra, umasas atz b'chol kaifa, nafshal kiddush Hashem. He turned over people by his handshake. If he just gave you his hand, Rebbeinu said about himself, he says, if anybody who I came in contact with, they were guaranteed they would do tshuva before they died. That's what he said. Anybody he came in contact with, they would do tshuva before that. There's many stories about him as when he was a pharmacist and he was a hidden tzaddik. So he used to, you know, today there's a legendary rabbi in Rav in Eretz Yisrael, Rav David Grossman. Heard of Rav David Grossman from Migdal? From Migdal Emek?
Yeah.
The
book that came out, the English book on him.
Yeah. The disco rabbi. It's not such a nice way to refer to him, but the reason why he's called the disco rabbi is because he used to go to the discos to make Bali Tshuva. I mean, he built an entire city from Bali Tshuva. Huge infrastructure of Torah and Avodas Hashem. So Rebbeinu, you know, he would go into places and he used to pull out Yidden, and he set his eyes on people and he made big tzaddikim out of them. But he used to go into such places, Rebbeinu, in a very interesting way in Avodas Hashem. He said he once told one of his talmidim. He said, it popped into my head that I should say a certain maisa. But he says it was a davar chol. It was a davar chol. You have to know about the divrei chol of Rabbanim. It was not stam divrei chol. So he says, I know that everybody would laugh if I said it. If I said it, everybody would laugh. And there was a very big oilam there. And my Yitzhahara started to say to me, you shouldn't say the maisa bunim. You shouldn't say it. Because if you say the maisa and they're going to laugh at you, you're going to lose your oilam and they're not going to think you're a Rebbe anymore. But I told my Yitzhahara, I said, why am I making such cheshbonos of these things? Should I hold back these oisiyas hakdoshim? Should I hold back these holy words? I mean, everybody thought it was going to be a joke. But what was going to come out of his mouth was going to be very deep in you. Something very, very big was going to come out of that. And Rav Pinchas Karitzer said that all tanugim in this world comes from Gan Eden. So I'm going to hold back these holy words, and I'm going to hold back the good laugh everybody's going to have. It's going to be a great Gan Eden if I say it. So I said, I'll give up the Rebbishkeit, I'll give it up, I'll give up the Rabbanus for this moment to give the oil in the Gan Eden, not to hold back these oisiyas. So I said the joke. He says, everybody had such a good laugh. Such a good laugh. And afterwards, they were throwing the Kfit L'chani like they never did before.
What was the joke?
Huh? Doesn't say. He was kind to them even more. Meaning, you see what the Yitzhahara did? Such a deep story. Yitzhahara thought that he was going to give up, but he was ready to be Meister Nefesh and give it up. Ready to give it up. But as soon as he gave it up,
he was willing to test him to see how much he wanted.
That's right. And he got it back. He got the back even more. He was kind to them even more. Says that once he was speaking to the Kotzker, and he said to the Kotzker, said to him, why do I need to be a Rebbe? I should just throw it away. Why do I need this? I'll throw away the whole thing. So what? If you can give me a good reason why I should hold on to it, maybe I'll hold on to it. So of course, quiet. He didn't say anything. The Kotzker didn't know what to say. Mamash pachad. The Rebbe says something like that. So the Rebbe came back to him 15 minutes later. It says, he let him sit with this 15 minutes. He said to him, I'm not going to throw it away. You know why? Because there were many Rebbes. Never did I see a Rebbe who threw it away. No. That was the reason why. Very deep. Everything is very deep. So once it was Parshas Shabbos Noach, and there was a visitor who was in town. And so each time Rabbanim saw him, he would say, "Oh, Baruch Haba, Reb Noach is here. Come, sit down, Reb Noach." And kept referring to Reb Noach. So, at one point, Rabbanim said to him, "Nunu, tell me a vart about Noach." So this yid sat. He says, "Parshas Noach." Rashi says, quotes the Chazal about Noach: "Yesh darshan osel l'shvach, v'yesh darshan osel gnach." We don't find that about any other of anybody else in Tanakh. Some say good things about Noach. Some say bad things about Noach. So this Noachel, he said to Rabbanim, he says, what's pshat that we darshan bad things about Noach? How could such a thing be? He says, because you have to know who darshan the bad thing about Noach. You know who darshan this bad thing about Noach? Noach. Oh, such a part. Noach darshan gnai about himself. That's who's darshan gnai about Noach. So the tzaddikim said afterwards, after they heard that part, after the Chosha said, he certainly knew Rabbanim that he was a nitzitz of Noach. He must have. My Rebbe told me that there was a tkufa where his Rebbe, the Minchas Yehuda from Sishin, he says that he used to refer to my Rebbe's father as Shimshon HaGibor. He used to hand him Shirayim and he used to say, oh, Shimshon HaGibor. Every time, Shimshon HaGibor, Shimshon HaGibor. So it was obviously had a Rebbe She'inyan, but my Rebbe said I don't know exactly why he said he did that, but he said he must have seen something in him that he was like a Shaykhus of Shimshon. You know, Tzaddik does something like that. It's because I called him Reb Noach. His name wasn't Noach. He's like, Reb Noach, Parshas Noach.
Did he come back next week?
I don't know. Between you and Josh, you have a lot of kashas. I don't know.
Kash on the Mesa.
Says there was once a group of people from the town, from a certain town, that came to Rabbanim to complain about their Rebbe, about their Rav. He says he sits a whole day locked up in his room, learning and davening, and he never comes out. He's had complaints against their Rav. So Rabbanim says, I want to meet this Rav. So he goes and he meets the Rav. And he says to him, he says, Chazal say that Yaakov, he sent Malachim to Esav. He says, what, there was no other regular people for the job? He had to send Malachim to go? Many answers are given to that. It happens to be that in the Medrash, there's 2 days. Some say it was Malachim Mamish, and Rashi, I think, quotes it. And some say it was regular people. But he says, according to the day that it was Malachim Mamish, so what, nobody was willing to do the job? Some say, yeah, Taka, nobody wanted to do it. But Alpi Pshat, why did he have to send Malachim? He says, the reason why he sent Malachim is because the Torah wants to teach us that even if you're a Malach, you still have to go out and help other Jews. That's what he said. Because Chazal say, if your Rebbe is a Malach, you have to learn Torah from him. He says, but if you're a Malach and you're not helping other Yidden, then you're not really a Malach. You don't think that you're a Malach, but you think you are sitting in Torah and Tefillah the whole day. Not such a Malach.
But as Tom did that.
Huh?
Kotzker
did that. Kotzker did that, yeah, that's true. That's true. You have to know that when the Kotzker did that, he had ways of helping Yidden behind closed doors. Another Maimer Chachma, which he said, and the Rav Shir something said similar something to that. He says, a Rabbanim once said, if they give me Gehenna, I'm okay with that. I have an eitz on that. Because the Gemara says, when it comes to an Ir Miklat, that if a Yid goes to an Ir Miklat, if a Talmud goes, so he takes his Rebbe with him. He says, it's okay. He says, if I go to Gehenna, I'm gonna take the Chayza, and the Chayza is going to take the name Ali Melech, and he's going to take the Magin, he's going to take the Baal Shem Tov, and it's going to be a very good Gehenna. It's going to be a very good Gehenna. And he says, everything that they said was mamash. He says, and you know what? I'm going to take an Amsterdam edition of Talmud Bavli. I'm going to take an Amsterdam edition, because it has very big margins on the side. I'm going to write down all the chidushim on the side, and it's going to be a great Gehenna. What that means, I have no idea. I'm going to take an Amsterdam edition with big, big margins, so I could write down the chidushim, and it's going to be a good Gehenna. That's what he said. Once the Rebbe from Varka, there was actually Rebbunim was makbid that. Tzidikin had many ways with that they did the storm. Some allowed guests, some allowed all the chassidim to come, some didn't allow anybody to come. So by Rebbunim, he only wanted his close talmidim there. And there was a certain visitor who came from out of town, and he was supposed to eat at somebody's house by the Seder, but he came there and he saw that there was mamish nothing. They were so poor, he didn't want to stay. So he came knocking on Rebbunim's door, and he said, Rebbe, I want to eat by you. He said, oh, I can't have any guests. He said, no, he said, where am I supposed to go, Rebbe? He said, okay. So the Varka Rebbe promised Rebbunim that he would keep him quiet and he wouldn't disrupt the Seder. I mean, of course, the Varka Rebbe knew what was going on and why Rebbunim didn't want him there. He says, Rebbe, I'll make sure he's not gonna mess around at the Seder. He's going to stay quiet. Nothing's going to happen. What happens? So later on in the Seder, so in the middle of the Seder, a certain officer, a Goyisha officer, comes into the Seder. He's dressed like a policeman. And he comes in and he starts talking to Rebbunim, middle of the Seder. And he starts handling on him about the price of wheat and barley in the marketplace. And he's like, oh, five, whatever the currency is over there, $5. And he's like, no, $10. Back with having a whole conversation going on about the price of wheat in the marketplace. So this guy is sitting there and he's like, oh, what is going on? He can't believe it, he can't control himself. So this is where the Varka comes in and he pulls him over. He says to him, what you see and what I see is something totally different. And what I see and what the Rebbe sees is something totally different. Which means to say that everybody can only see what they're allowed to see. It was Eliyahu Navi. It says, but you were not able to see Eliyahu Navi. So you saw an officer come in and handle with Rebbunim about the price of wheat in the marketplace. I saw something totally different. What he saw, Rebbe Yitzchak Varka, I have no idea. But what the Rebbe saw and what they were talking about was something completely different. So don't ask that. We mentioned before that Rebbunim was a Talmud of the Chayza Shtikl. He was really a primary Talmud of the Yir HaKadosh. But he was also, he would come to the Chayza as well. So once he came to the Chayza and the Rav Shitzur was there, and there was a bit of a machlokes between the Rav Shitzur and the Rebbunim. And the Rav Shitzur was sitting with his son, the illustrious son, Reb Lezer Jikover, and Rebbunim came, but he was a guest. He was a guest, because he really had left Lublin, and he went to follow the Yid HaKadosh, but he was a guest. So So Rabbanim turned to Rabbi Lezer Jikifer, who was very young at the time, and he turned to him and he said, let me tell you what the Rebbe is going to do now. The Rebbe is going to be sitting in his chair, and he's going to throw himself back in the chair, he's going to put his head up, and he's going to say, who's going to bench? Who's going to lead us in benching? And then he's going to say, Bunim, you're going to lead the bench. That's what he said. So, Lezer Jikifer is sitting there. All of a sudden, the Chayza throws his head back, and he goes, who's going to bench? And Rabbi Lezer Jikifer says, I was praying, he wasn't going to say Bunim. Then he says, Bunim, you bench. And he says, the Lezer Jikifer's face turned white after what had happened. So the Rav Shitzer was sitting there, and he saw what was happening, and he started to laugh, the Rav Shitzer. And he says, oh, he said to his son, he says, you're already allowing Bunim to take you over? Letting Bunim take you over? As if like, don't make anything out of that. You're letting Bunim take you over? I would have taken me over if I saw something like that. So he wasn't impressed. He wasn't impressed by it. And that whole machlekes, and we'll end with this, and then another thing. And the whole machlekes, so many beautiful things. I could go on forever. Mamash gevaldik. In the machlekes against the Rabbanim. So as we mentioned before, that the Abdurov paskin good on Rabbanim. So over the course at that chasana, so he turned to the son of the Yid HaKadosh, Rabbi Yechmiel, who himself had an Eda, and he was a Shtickel Rebbe. And he turned to him and he said to him, maybe you'll tell us. You're the son of the Yid HaKadosh. Everybody knew the Yid HaKadosh was a great tzaddik, although he had left the Lublin. You tell something about Rabbanim. He wanted to hear his opinion on the matter. And the chassidim of Rabbanim were very scared. Rabbanim didn't come to the chasana. He sent five talmidim to come. And they represented Rabbanim. And again, I mentioned that he was very impressed, especially the after by the Chidush Arim. And he was very young at the time. He was the youngest of the five. But he turned to Yechmiel and he said, you tell me something about Rabbanim, your father. And all the chassidim were very scared because there was a bit of not such good relations between Rabbi Yechmiel and Rabbanim after passing of the Yid HaKadosh, what would be with chassidim. So they were very scared what he would come out of his mouth. So he turned to the Avtarev and he said, My father once told me that my heart, my oitzer in my heart of Yerushalayim, I gave to Rabbanim. He says something along the lines of like, Rabbanim has my heart. My heart Rabbanim has. As soon as he said that, also that was a very big deal. Okay, that he said, "Bunim has my heart."
Bunim said he's going to take the chesed again.
That's what he said. Yeah, he's right. Yeah. That's what it says here. I don't know. Yeah, that's what it said. Yeah. He said once, and we'll conclude with this. One of the great also talmidim of Rabbanim from Shisla was the Meshilach, the Ishbitzer. And one of the greatest talmid of perhaps of the Ishbitzer was not the greatest, but Rav Tzadik HaKoyim from Lublin. Once Rav Tzadik, he used to tell my tzaddikim like many of the rabbis did. And once on Purim, he was in a very good mood, and he was walking back with chassidim, and he was about to go into his study. And he turned around, and he said, I want to tell you a story. I was once walking my Rebbe, the Ishbitzer, back. And we were walking, and he was very silent. And then all of a sudden, he told me, and he said, I was once in Pshischa. And I was in B'yechidus with the Rebbe Rabbanim, and it was before Havdalah on Matzei Shabbos. And he got up from his chair, And he picked up the kais to say Havdalah. And before he said Havdalah, he said to me, I see very far into the future. And I see that in the Dairis to come, in the Dairis before the coming of Mashiach, that the Yidden will be very wealthy. And they're going to have a lot of riches and a lot of maiseris, and they're going to have a lot of expenses. And he says they're going to live such a lavish lifestyle that the parnasa which they make won't be able to cover all of the luxuries which they have. Are they going to have more jobs and more jobs to cover all of their tzrachim? Because they have so many luxuries, they're going to be meshabed themselves in many, many jobs until they have no time to learn and to daven, because they're going to be so involved and keeping up with a luxurious lifestyle. That was a very big chiddush, by the way, because forever and ever, the Yidden were poor. But he said, like a grace of Nevuah, he said, I see that the Yidden are going to have so much wealth, that they're going to have so much, they're going to be so busy with it, and keeping up with their luxuries, that they're not going to have any time to learn. And he said, the Yishvitzer said, when I heard that, he says, the hairs on my head stood up, and my body was filled with goosebumps. And he said, but when I think about the matzav of Klai Yisrael before the coming of Mashiach. And the Yishvitzer then went and he said like this. He says that there's going to also be times that the Hasidim are not going to be able to be Hasidim either. And instead of being real Hasidim, they're going to turn to skulos and all types of things like that. And so I'm very scared about that because they're not going to be in this kind because of the Hasidus anymore. And he says, instead of looking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Yeshua, he's going to look to Basav Adam for the Yeshua. Very, very deep. He says, those who hold on tight to their Amuna, in those times, on them it says, U'binei Yisrael Yaisim Yadam. That's what the Tzaddik said, and he turned around, walked into his office, and he closed the door. So many great Tzaddikim. Mamish, we're in Amadushna Adin. We have so many stories, of so many lessons to learn. Mamari Chachma, but stories, and so many deep things. There's one other thing I wanted to say, though. One second. No, another thing. Slipped my mind. Okay.